HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aharon Avinu it's time to get moving. He heads south, presumably from Haran, in somewhere in what we would call Syria, or slightly north of Syria. He heads south to Eretz Yisrael. Perig Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav, Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekom Shechem Ad Elon Moreh Ba'knani Az Ba'aretz. Avinu comes to Shechem. If you go to Shechem, well, going to Shechem is at this point not a safe thing to do, but if you go to Elon Moreh, which is the Jewish community that overlooks Shechem, you can actually see why it is that Avinu comes to Shechem. You can see geographically how that's the natural way in. I show you, if you're at a high enough elevation, you can see that along the western side of the Yarden is a smooth path, a couple miles wide probably, a coastal plain that comes down from the north and then swings eastward towards Shem. And it's not for naught that multiple times that Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, from Avram to Yeshua and on, the Shechem is a very natural place to. In Yaakov Avinu, absolutely. Shechem is a very natural place to come to. But there may be more than mere geography. Rabban says, I want to tell you a fundamental tool. Here we are, Perikid Beis, Pasik Vaz. Evar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekom Shechem. Omar Lecha Klal. Rabban says, I want to tell you a principle. Tavino So Bechol HaParashas HaBoz Be'inyin Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. It'll help you to make sense, to make deeper sense, all the upcoming parashas over the course of the balance of Sefer Bereishis. Who Inyin Gadol. Is Kiru Rabbi Sayyid B'derech Tzara. This is a major concept Chazal presented in very brief terms. What we call Rav HaKamos Ma'at HaEchus. Tremendous magnitude. Excuse me, just the opposite. Rav HaEchus Ma'at HaKamos. Tremendous depth, qualitatively enormous, but quantitatively very small. A couple of words, a major concept. Rav Ha'echaz Ma'at HaKamas. Says the Ramban, Amru Chazal, the following formulation, the way the Ramban presents, the Italian Ramban, the language of the Tanchuma, Kamashi'ira al-Avasim al-Banim. Masa, or it's often said over, Masa Avasim al-Banim. What happened to the Avos is a similar what's going to happen, be unpacked more later on for later generations. V'chein, I said, so there's more to Avram's initial coming to Shechem than just geographical ease. He may also be saying, as Ramban goes on to say later, this was already portending what was going. This is working out what Klal Yisrael will be doing later on. And he goes on to say the number one. This explains to us something that might really trouble us a lot. That's why, you ever wonder why the Chumash spent so much time, and he travels here and he travels there, and they're digging these wells, digging those wells, like, it was important for him to do it, but why is it important for us to know? It's hard sometimes to see how it's what the Gemara Megillah calls the Nebuah Shehut Shecha L'Doros. Okay, Yitzhak needs water, so that was certainly the right thing to do, was to dig wells. And to keep digging until you actually get one that you can, it's going to be functional. But what do we need to know about that for? How is it Hutzrach HaLadaros? How is it Hutzrach beyond his generation? So Ramban says, part of the solution to that puzzle is, he says, Yachshav HaChoshev Bohem, someone thinking about that puzzle might think, Kilim Dvar Miyutar, and Bohem tells, it seems superfluous, it seems like it was necessary for him to do it, but why is it necessary for us to know it? V'chulim Bo'im L'Amein Al-Asad. You know what? They're there, says Ramban. They're there to teach us about the future. This was a Ma'is Sabbath that would be Simon Laban. So this is number one. And number one, here's the principle. This principle will help us to make sense of why so many different episodes in Chumash Bereishis appear in Chumash. Why are they here? Because they're more than just an event that happened at one point in the life of Avraham, Yitzchak, or Yaakov. But this was a nevuah about the future. This is a Masavas Simen Lebanim. And Ramban Lashitaso, I think I mentioned in the past, Ramban is very interested in both sort of the specific local shot in this pasuk as well as the global picture of what this Chumash all about. And he will be consistent in that. He's going to be consistent over the course of Chumash Bereishis again and again and again. Say, ah, and by the way, in this paragraph, in this pasuk, you know what's here? My service is in Lebanon for the following episode later on in Jewish history. Again, time and again over the course of Chumash Bereishis, he's going to return to this klal that, as he promised, will be useful in understanding many parshas of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Then he takes it a step further. And he says, this is already, it sounds like a more global principle, but the truth is, Ramban says, the whole notion of my Sava Simul Banim is in itself an example of something even larger. And something we touched on a little bit before Rosh Hashanah. Let's take a look inside. Right after, right between footnotes number 28 and 29. V'da. You have to know, Kikol Gezeras Irin, when there's a Gezeran Shamayim, Hashem Teitse Mikor Gezera El Poal Dimion, Tia Gezer Miskaimus Al Kalpan. You have to know that there's a decree in Shamayim about some topic or another, it will be reinforced, strengthened, more certain to occur no matter what circumstances arise. When is Yotze min ha-koach el po'al dimyon? And this Rabban is introducing us to a phrase that I think he coined, po'al dimyon, but there's also a little bit of literary wordplay here. Because Yotze min ha-koach el ha-po'al is an old expression that means to take something from potential to actual. Koach is something that's be-koach means it's potential. And to go from potential to kinetic, you have this ability, you have this talent, you have this opportunity, and then you realize it, literally you realize it, you make it real, and that to be called that binyotze min ha-koach ha-po'al. Instead of just being an idea, a possibility, it became a reality. The Ramban is there's some literary wordplay here. Yotze min ha-koach ha-po'al dimyon. Po'al dimyon is, po'al dimyon means an action that's domet, an action that's similar to a certain idea. Playing, not miming a certain idea. Rabban says, if you have, as he goes on to say, when Nevi'im will do masa b'nevuos, when you have a situation, Tanakh, which you have not infrequently, the Navi doesn't just say words, but he acts them out also. For instance, Kemamar Yirmiyahu, Shetziva al Baruch, Yirmiyahu tells his Talmud Muvak Baruch ben Eriyah, you're going to read this Nevuah, about the future, it's written on a piece of parchment. When you're done reading it, you'll tie it to a, wrap it up, tie it to a rock, to a sinker. You'll give this piece of parchment cement boots, and you'll throw it into the Euphrates, you'll throw it into the Pras River, which was a major, two major rivers that surround Babel. Yomar Tekacha Tishka Babel. And you can say out loud, that's the way Babel's going to sink. That's the way Babel's going to go down. The way that piece of parchment just went down. So he's not just delivering the Nevuah verbally, but acting it out kinesthetically. Chenin Elisha puts his arm on the against the bow. And it goes on to give more examples. And there are some other more famous examples. I'm not sure whether Ramban gives. Ramban, for some reason, chose some of the more obscure examples. Probably one of the most famous examples when the Navi tells Shlomo that the Nevuah is going to be torn asunder and that his son was not going to be Melech over all of Eretz Yisrael, he's going to be Melech over the southern kingdom, but that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to decouple Malchus Yehud in the south and Malchus Yisrael in the north. And the Navi doesn't just tell him that, he takes the cloth, takes the garment and rips it apart and to demonstrate this is how Eretz Yisrael is going to be ripped into pieces. And then Yechezkel is told not only to tell Klal Yisrael about the coming Churban, but he's actually supposed to make a model of Yerushalayim, and with his own body lay siege
to this the original Holy Land Hotel model. This is the first time that we know of a model of Yerushalayim. That's in Sefer Yechezkel. And they have this from time to time. The Navi not only says, verbalizes, Kadosh Baruch Hu said X, Y, and Z is going to happen, but it actually acts it out. The Ramban says, that's what we call a poal dimyon, an action that is similar to what's being said. So he says Ramban, Lefikach hechzeka Kadosh Baruch Hu es Avraham ba'aretz. Says, you're wondering. You wonder what's going on here. You're wondering why is that Kadosh Baruch Hu having Avraham Avinu go to this part of Eretz Yisrael, go to that part of Eretz Yisrael, go here, go there. Who needs it? But why does he have to travel around to all these places? It could be, you could say, he was giving shiurim. He was setting up his kiruv network. He was reaching out and teaching people about monotheism. He was traveling throughout Eretz Yisrael. Now Eretz Yisrael was going to be his major territory. And he's trying to work his way through Eretz Yisrael to spread the notion of Hashem Echad. So that happens in Eretz Yisrael. The Rabban says, but there's more. There's more. The thing of Hechz HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avram Baretz, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Machzik Avram Avinu in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Why do I mean Machzik? Because the Gemara has a Machlokes in Bav Basra when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu to walk Eretz Yisrael La'orko L'rachba Kilecha Atanena. The Gemara has a Machlokes Atanena. What does that mean? Walk throughout Eretz Yisrael, hike it lengthwise and widthwise, kilachat nena, because I'm going to give it to you. So how do those two things flow? Hike through Eretz Yisrael because this land is going to be yours. So why does that mean you have to hike through Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara is machlok, because sometimes said that that was the kenyan. Not it's going to be yours in the future. Kilachat nena, it will thereby become yours. So there was a kenyan of a hiluch dalet amos, a kenyan. A kinyan of a hiluch, that by walking the dimensions of that piece of property, it becomes yours. That's one approach that some Tanam had, that was Avinu actually was Koda Eretz Yisrael. And the discussion, can that work nowadays also, or that was like a one-time idea? But if not, then you wonder, so what was the goal of Avram Avinu hiking Eretz Yisrael? I think we spoke about this once, right? Hiking Eretz Yisrael, miyam liyam is a couple of days. That's l'rachba, but l'arka, shvili Yisrael, that could be months. It's a long trip. That's not a come back for supper type of hike. The length of Eretz Yisrael, from the north to the very south. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking him to do it? If that's a Kenyan, okay, this is very important. That's how Klal Yisrael took possession, in a Dinim Amnes sense. The corporate ownership of Eretz Yisrael by Klal Yisrael, if that was being formed through Avram's Hiluch, then we understand the goal of the Hiluch. But if not, so why is he working? The Arkel Rachba is very, very long. Rabban says, if it wasn't making it his now, he did as a Kenyan, but it was enhancing the nevuah that it would be his children's in the future. The Fika Hechazek Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the language Chazak is being used. Hechazek Hakadosh Baruch Hu as Avraham Ba'aretz, but also Dimyonos Bechal HaAsid LeYosos Bazar. And not only the Kadosh Baruch Hu take Avraham Avinu around Eretz Yisrael, but also at specific places, has him do things that act out nevuos about what would happen to Klal Yisrael in the future in that place. And then he said, Ani maschil ufareish hayom befrat besukim bez Hashem. And now going forward, I'm going to go as we continue to work through the pesukim of Bereishis, of Lech Lecha and beyond. I'm going to be pointing out, okay, he's doing this here because nevuah for this episode in the future. He's doing this here because he's moving for this episode in the future. And here he starts talking about Shechem. He goes into Shechem. He says, Rashi says, that he goes into Shechem to Davin for Bnei Yaakov, that they should be militarily successful, his great-grandchildren. So the Ramban says in the last line, Nachanu, I think that's correct. Vayni Mosif, I'm not disagreeing, but I think it wasn't only tefillah, it was also this idea. Hechazik Avram Makamu Tchila. He has Avram moving there first. Koshin also has Aretz. Before he gets the promise of Eretz Yisrael, before the Brisbane of Zarim, Nir Malzlam is that Kibar Yechashav Abakam Ahutchila. This was a Nevuah. This was an active, a physically active, kinesthetic Nevuah, that when Klal Yisrael come to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to take this first. And he explains, by the way, the Hemshach HaPasuk as well. Kodem HaYos, because what's the Pasuk saying? The Kanana were then in the land. That's a problem that many of the Parshim deal with. What's the... He comes into Eretz Yisrael and the Kanana were there. Well, why is the Chumash so sticky there? And maybe we should know. You have to, you'll figure out pretty soon, as the teens learn Chumash, that there were Kanana in Eretz Yisrael. Why is the Chumash after right away, the moment Avraham Avinu walks into Eretz Yisrael, it comes to Shechem, by the way, there were Kanana in there. Then. Hakanani Oz Ba'aretz. So what we're being told, what's with the Oz? So Ramban says, you know, it's not a non sequitur. You know what it has to be right here? Because the Torah is explaining why it was only a Nevuah. He says again, from the top of this page, Nirmazlo Mizeki Bal Yechshva Makom Hotchila. His going to Shechem was a Poel Dimyon that in the future Klal Yisrael will take Shechem first. Kodem Heyos Zochem Bo. Kodem Heyos Avon Yosheva Aret Shalem Lahaglosam Misham. It's going to be before. It sounds like this may be reference to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is going to come back to Shechem, but there won't yet be the time for them to take possession of Eretz Yisrael, because, as the Chumash says later, Lo Shalem Avon Emori. Because they're not, the Kanaan are not yet ready to, or have not yet committed so many sins that they're ready to be moved out of Eretz Yisrael. L'chein amar v'akanani az ba'aretz. That's why it's right here. It's right here. There is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go to Shechem. You're going to go to Shechem. The Torah tells us, you're going to Shechem because v'akanani az ba'aretz now and Kanani az ba'aretz, you're going to come into Shechem. Yaakov Avinu and his sons are also going to come to Shechem and not yet take possession of it, because the Kanaan will still be Ba'aretz, still have spiritual right to remain Eretz Yisrael. And then he goes on to say, he goes to Ai, and that's a reference to the early wars of Yericho. He goes, Ai continues in this approach. Well, I turn our attention now to the next Ramban. Two psukim later, Avraham Avinu begins to be kori b'shem Hashem. It begins to build mizbachos. It begins to call the name of God. Kori b'shem, they cry b'shem Hashem. What? Sounds pretty important. What does it mean? Have you ever called the name of God? Have I ever called the name of God? Well, depends what kori b'shem Hashem means, right? Very good. So Akiva says, Akiva, we could call Akiva Unklus. He just Mechavim to Unklus. Unklus Papus. Take a look. Maharaj. Pasuk Chais, at the bottom, page 9 Chais. Pirish Unklus. You don't hear that terminology often. You usually hear Tirgim Unklus. Pirish Unklus. Rabban says, Unklus is gay. He's translating, but in this case, he's not just translating from Hebrew to Aramaic, but he's given an interpretation. Pirish Unklus, Shehispal El Sham. It means that he davened there. Come on. Karasi Shimcha Hashem Ibar Tachtios. Where is that Pasuk? Note 46. Pasuk in Echa. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I called your name Mibar Tachtios. From the deepest of the pits. Pasuk in Echa. The Hanachon, now, do you notice any chink in that armor? Unklus didn't bring that right. Unklus just is translating Pesukim. Rabban is pointing out, you look, you have a right to Unklus from Pasuk in Echa. You notice any chink in the armor, though? Yeah. Oh. Oh, there it says, I called your name. And here it says, he called in the name of Hashem. Hanachon says to Rabban, very good, Shnei. Hanachon, Rabban says, I think the most correct approach. Shaykori v'kol gado Hashem lefneim mizbeach es shem Hashem. He built the mizbeach, and the mizbeach began to become the center of his teaching activities. This was the bima from which he taught. Modia so, as he began to call a loud voice from the mizbeach,
Kol Shem Hashem, what does that mean, Kol Shem Hashem? Modia oso ve'elokuso l'bnei Adam. To begin to tell people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to tell people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divinity. Ki bu'ur kasdim, ha'yivolam v'lovu shmoa. Kasdim, he also tried, he didn't have a willing audience. He didn't have takers. Yata, kishabab ve'arz azoz. Now he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and what's the difference? Shahuf tafba, ba'baruch ha'mi ba'baruch ha'cha. Now he's coming with a promise, a couple of psukim ago, that things are going to be different. That I will bless all those who bless you. It's going to be, it will, in other words, ba'baruch ha'mi ba'baruch ha'cha, the real Rabban just told us, I mean, very subtle. Ba'baruch ha'mi ba'baruch ha'cha, the most fundamental thing that Avram is told when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Baruch Hu is that there will exist the Zorchim. There will be people who will be open and positive to what you have to say. And you should know you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to be people who have a positive reaction to you. Which he hadn't, as far as we can tell from Chazal, he hadn't had that. And a very, very, very reaction to him in Orkasta was full of animus and hate and fear, and there was no positive reaction. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, we usually look at that pasuk and say, "Tomorrow's like a just appreciate for a moment." Like a Chiddush Rambam, the Imamish threw it in half a line. But we always say, "Baruch Baruch Hu is a bracha to the people who will be your adherents." The Rambam says that's true, but more fundamentally, Avraham Avinu was told that there will be adherents. Rabban says, and that's why all of a sudden, by Yikra B'Shem Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a nevuah that you're going to have success in Chinuch here. You'll be able to marvel Torah in a way that you couldn't. You'll have audiences. Rabban says, now you understand the flow of Zukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him when he enters Yisrael, it's going to be different. The Kuzri perhaps would have said that something Rabban will talk about sometimes also. You know, that I don't know if the Kuzri says it about this. But the Kuzri certainly says in many other places, focuses on the essential spiritual qualities of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is metaphysically different. Rabbi Yitzchak Shailat, in his one of the Magide Shir in Malei Adumim, who's a great Rambam expert, he wrote a sefer a couple of years ago, a number of years back, Beinei Rambam LaKuzri. He goes through 12, 13, 14 different major philosophical topics. And talks about, compares and contrasts the approach of the Rambam and Rehuda Levi to those topics. And it's organized on Seder Sefer HaKuzri. So his argument is that many people have assumed the past. The Rambam, the Kuzri, and Mamash, like opposite extremes, and they're totally different. The Rambam is a rationalist, the Kuzri is working on Pi-Kabbalah and mysticism. And he says, take it easy, there are definitely differences, and there are definitely similarities. He points to historically, he's almost sure the Rambam read Sefer Kuzri, because Rabbi Alevi was a close Talmud of the Rif and was incredibly close, personally close to the Rif's most towering Talmud, the Rima Magash. The Kuzri, Rabbi Shalat points out that the Kuzri, Rabbi Alevi wrote a poem, if I remember correctly, describing the death that seemed, I think it's over the Rima Magash's father. And how he calls his first son Yosef, the Rebbe Magash, to come. So, and reminiscent, I believe, Rebbe Levi works in sort of some of the imagery in the Chumash of Yaakov calling a different Yosef, his son Yosef, to come. So, Rebbe Shailat points out, it sounds like the Kuzri was very, very, very connected with Rebbe Magash and with his family, which is not surprising. They're both Talmidim in the Rif, but not. Not every two Talmidim of the same Rebbe are very close, but it seems that there was a real personal connection there. And he says the Rambam's father was a Talmid of Rebbe Magash. The Rambam, the Rambam writes about the Rebbe Magash. It's like that he was gedolei gedolim. So it said it's hard to imagine that they didn't. The Rambam never met Rebbe Levi. Maybe it's hard to imagine he wasn't familiar with the Sfar. And Shalat points out. Once you start looking, you realize there are a lot of chunks of Rambam where he's clearly quoting or is aware of the way the Kuzri presents particular ideas. But he does point out there's a difference between the Rambam and the Kuzri in terms of the significance of Eretz Yisrael. To what extent is Eretz Yisrael... The Rambam focuses, I think, less on the inherent significance of Eretz Yisrael. It's more, there's a Beis HaMikdash there, and that's a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to keep mitzvahs, as opposed to Sefer Kuzmi, who understands that those are all consequences of the fact that Eretz Yisrael is metaphysically different. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. It's a different place. It's a special type of place with unique qualities. The Ramban is saying, even without saying, the Ramban is really bothered by a question. All of a sudden now, number one question, what does it mean to be Karev B'Shem Hashem? If it means to teach, so why all of a sudden now? More than any time before. Right? Chumash taught us about now, more than any time before. Ramban says, you know why? Because in Eretz Yisrael. But he doesn't stress Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is itself a more spiritual place. It's because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu two psukim earlier. A couple of psukim earlier, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu. Mevarchem, mevarchecha. Avraham listened to that carefully. He said, wow, they're going to be mevarchem. Okay, so now it's time to redouble my efforts to reach out, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told me I'm going to be able to make headway here. He comes to land in which, about which he was promised by Rabbi Shalom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless his mevarchim, meaning that you will have mevarchim. Hayalamud lilamei lufarsim elokos. Now he's really going to throw himself in even more into teaching, into spreading the word of the existence of one God. V'chein amar akaz biyitzan shkesh alochel nachal grar. Yitzchak goes to grow. Yitzchak goes to Eretz Plishtim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, on the way down, don't worry, I'm gonna be with you, I'm gonna take care of you. So bottom is bad for you, Hashem Hashem. That's what he does. Why is he doing the same terminology, the same set of things? He builds his back and his Korei B'Shem Hashem. Why? Rabban says, I understand it well. Ki Baba Malcolm Chadash. I shall shamu es shamo. Now he comes to a new place that hadn't yet been exposed to the concept of Hashem Echad. The Higid Kvod, I got him a name. So I said, okay, so now we have to establish a new yeshiva. A new yeshiva teach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Lo Nem of Yaakov came. Why did you ever hear this by Yaakov Avinu? It's a fascinating, just a question before you get the answer. Just to consider for a moment the way the Ramban opens our minds. Like we might look, as until this point, maybe we would have looked at the puzzle and say, what does Yaakov Hashem Hashem mean? That's a good local question. Rabban wants to know that. He also wants to know, one second, let's look at Bereishis. Where should there be Kriya B'Shem Hashem? Like a whole different, zoomed out perspective. It's a much broader perspective Rabban is introducing us to. He said, well, we saw that Ravino, okay, and then it's consistent by Yitzchak, and it's the same, it works pattern-wise. You not just, it's mentioned by Yitzchak, you expect to find it there. That very part of Yitzchak is exactly what you expect to find it. But Yitzchak was breaking new ground. And then, of course, he builds on his back and part of Hashem Hashem. Now he starts to teach in a new setting. How about Yaakov Avinu? Now Yaakov Avinu, so why isn't he part of Hashem Hashem? A Rabban's kasha. But lo nem of Yaakov came, he says, "I'm saying shaholid banim rabim kulam ovdei Hashem," because he had a family, because he had many children, all of whom were ovdei Hashem. And he began to build a community, the community of Yisrael, Adas Yisrael. And therefore, how does the answer the question? That's very nice. Yaakov was busy with what? Yaakov had a big family, all of the Hashem. What do you mean? He was busy with his family, didn't have time to teach. What does this mean?
What does exactly make Hashem?
It means to teach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be korei Shem Hashem, to be to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to be korei b'Shem Hashem, he says, is to teach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, then I understand why it appears by Avram, and in that particular context, and together with the Mizbeach. Not together with the Mizbeach, you bring a carbon, you daven into the Mizbeach. But the Mizbeach became the bama for his, in the positive sense, for his activities, for his teaching activities. That was his... Literally and certainly figuratively, the Mizbeach was the platform for his teaching. The Yitzchak, again, new place, new platform for teaching. And then Yaakov says, well, he had a big family, all of Deshem. And therefore what? Yeah.
He had his base.
And so you could have stopped there. You could have said, he wasn't seeking to reach out anymore. Now he's doing inreach. Which may be part of the answer. The Ramban goes on to say, in the next couple of words, V'nisparso ha'muna bohem. V'noda al-chol ha'am. that could be in Sparsh Abraham means they knew, but I think he also means, what, if Avram is one man, Yitzchak is one man, so you might have to be out there actively teaching. Yaakov Avinu was building a whole community. So word got out on its own. He didn't have to go out and preach as much because people knew. People knew that there's a group. There's a group that believes that of monotheists who believe in Hashem Echad, and we should find out. But he perhaps didn't have to push the message as much, and people were coming to him. The word got around on its own more. The number one, Yaakov Avinu had a large group, more noticeable. You remember just last week, Ramban also was talking about the publicity that comes from being big. By the Mabel, right? That's one of the two approaches to Teva. The reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted such a big Teva was that way everyone would see, everyone would talk. And now it's not a question of a big physical item, but when you have a big group of people, word gets around. And then there's also the Gam, an additional factor that made it less necessary for Yaakov to be actively getting the word out, Kibi Mei Avosav, Nisparsim Acharetz Kanan. Because this is after approximately 2 centuries of the others being Eretz Yisrael. Avram, two centuries. Avram came when he was 75 years old. And when Yaakov comes back with the Kehila Gedola, that's well more than a century after Avram Avinu. This is after Avram Avinu passed away. This is well more than a century after the message began to get out. To say that at that point, he didn't need it. But Avram Avinu was the pioneer. He was a trailblazer. So he needed to get the word out. He was going after that to get the word out. And by the time Yaakov Avinu came around, there was way more established, and the message was there. And he says, by the way, it's true that the Unkelus holds that Kriya B'Shem Hashem means Tefillah, but I have sources in Chazal that support my approach as well. V'kach Amar Gracious Rabba, Melameit Shehidkor Shmo Shakadosh Baruch Hu B'Fi Kol Beryo. But Yikra B'Shem Hashem means the measure interpreted is by Yakre B'Shem Hashem, the Hifil. He caused other people to call B'Shem Hashem. He trained others to talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avi, you're waiting very patiently. Question? Oh, got taken care of. Now, just in terms of the last point in Ramban, he's touching on an important point that some of the Darshanim talk about. I've heard over the years Rav Shechter calls this the name of European Darshanim. Recently I saw this called the name of the Rav with an additional twist. Which for some means this is an older idea, and the Rav gave it an added twist. At the Gemara in the beginning of the fourth parak of Brachas, everyone's learned to begin to Tfilas HaShachar at some point, as the Gemara is a Machlokas, Shachar is Mincha Maariv, what does it correspond? Does it correspond to Karbanos, or is it Avet Tfilas Avos Tiknum? The Gemara says Tfilas Avos Tiknum means the Avram Tikin Shachar, Yitzhak Tikin Mincha, and Yaakov Tikin Aris. So a number of the Darshanim in Europe pointed out that there's a specific connection, correspondence between each Av and his tefillah. The time of day that the tefillah of each Av is corresponds to his life story. As Avraham Avinu was a man of the morning. Avraham Avinu was like the start of something new. He's the pioneer. He's introducing Mount, like what the Ramban said here. He's the one who's coming in introducing Mount into the world. And then Yitzhak is afternoon. Yitzhak is continuing the legacy of Avraham Avinu. That's something that becomes clear over the course of Chumash Gracious. That one of the major goals that the Yitzchak had was to be Mamshech Masoros Avos. And then Yaakov is, that sounds like the afternoon, the continuation of the day. And Yaakov Inu Tikin Arvis, Yaakov's life was very much a life of night, metaphorically speaking. Right? He's the only Av who goes into Golos multiple times. He's the only Av who dies in Golos. And it's such terrible suffering. And such internal family struggle. The Tsarsi had within his family. His daughter is kidnapped and raped, and his sons, Shimon and Levi in Shem, and then Shimon and then the brother of Yosef. The tremendous amount. Not only does he suffer at the hands of, he has arguably the worst father-in-law, yeah, certainly in Tanakh, probably. One of the worst father-in-laws on record.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
You know, but the way Lavan treats, the way Lavan treats Yaakov, right? Mamish, the way Lavan treats Yaakov. This is you should all be zeichet to one for the most. It has a lot to do.
It has a lot to do. It's right. The Gemara does say that it certainly happens with some frequency. In-law relationships don't have to be bad. They could be wonderful. They could be okay, or they could be unpleasant. The Gemara points out that the nature of human relations is such that there is a fair percentage of times when in-law relationships are unpleasant. But still, it doesn't mean it's just a given. It has a lot to do with the hishtadlus that you invest into the relationship. Relationship with your spouse, relationship with your spouse's family. But there's bad and there's horrific. Your love is mamish, horrific. Like Yaakov Avinu sah. Yaakov Avinu suffers so much. That's what Darshan pointed out. His tefillah is a tefillah of night. Because Avram's life was a life of morning. Yitzchak's life was an afternoon style life. And Yaakov's life was a night style life. He often didn't see. We can't see as clearly Akash Baruch until you look down the road with more perspective to see how Akash Baruch was taking care of him. And so the Rav, the added twist, and not only does the time of day of each Av's tefillah correspond to their life story, but the time in their life, it also corresponds to the point in their lives when they were Masak in that tefillah. As they quote in the Rav Sitter. Avram Tikin Shachar, the Gemara says, Shenemar, Eshkem Avram Aboker, on the way to the Akedah. This is like, everything's getting rolling. Yaakov is Tikin Mincha. At what point is he Misaki Mincha? Asof Basar is about to get married to Rivka and be Mamshach. As the Psukim say, Rivka was a Nechama for the loss of Sarah, and Rivka marrying Rivka means it's going to be a Hemshach of Klal Yisrael. And Yaakov is Misaki Mariv. On his way out of Eretz Yisrael, on his way into Galus, that's exactly what his Misakim are. At the points in their lives which were most morning-ish, or particularly afternoon-ish, or particularly night-ish, is exactly when they're Misakim, it feels like morning, afternoon, and night. And that's something that a pattern, or a part of the flow, of the arc of Chumash Bereishis, the progression from Avram to Yaakov, which Ramban already is pointing out in this opening paragraph. The opening paragraph of the Avos, he's already saying here that you're going to. Here's already another feature to watch. Avram is Kari B'Shem Hashem, Yitzchak is Kari B'Shem Hashem, Yaakov builds Mizbachos, I believe, but you don't see Kari B'Shem Hashem. Why not? He says, there was a larger group, and B, he was building off of what had already happened. So there's Avram, we're seeing here, Avram is the morning in a way that Yaakov is not going to be the morning. And yet another concept that the Rambam is already introducing here. Rosh will take a question, and then we'll close with one final concept the Rambam is already putting out at this very early stage in Torah's Avos. Yeah.
Before Yaakov, all Judaism wasn't just one nation. It was what everybody's supposed to do. Then after Yaakov, it was no longer everybody's, even though there might have been some people who were influenced, it was just mainly the Shvatim and one nation supposed to be doing the right thing. Why did Yaakov do that? And is it because there wasn't any hope left for the Rayim in being able to do the right thing anymore?
So you are bringing us to our last point, but I'm not sure I agree with everything you said. I don't think the Rabban is saying that Yaakov was no longer interested in spreading Dvar Hashem beyond his family. It sounds pretty clear. Like he's saying that was already happening on its own, and he didn't need to be as actively involved. The business was already ticking on its own. And they already have a large enough critical mass of people that it would draw, the word would get out, the word would spread without him having to be as actively Kori B'Shem Hashem and being out there preaching about the monotheism.
Then what happened to all the people who were involved?
That's a very good question. We do hear over the course of Chumash Bereishis about there every once in a while you have these phrases about all the people that are with one or the other or another.
What happened to them is a very good question. It could be they did not end up going down to Eretz Mitzrayim. But you're touching on another important point also, which Ramban is touching on, and we'll close our limud of Parshas Lech Lecha B'Iyun for today with this. And Ramban is we've seen so many major concepts. I mean, not only laid out myself a similar bottom part of Pasuk Vav, and that led him to an even broader concept of a Paul Dimina and Nevua. He spoke about four Rosh Hashanah, because Nesiva supplies that to Tzfila also, to the Ratzans, the Rosh Hashanah. But Ramban says about it as Nevua. And then we saw this machlok, the terminology, to be korei b'shem Hashem. Is that the same as to be korei shem Hashem? Does it mean to be mispalel near the Mizbech, as the Unkla says? Or the Ramban prefers the approach that he points out is the Bereshis Rabba's approach as well, which is it's not about davening, but it's about teaching. About teaching Malthusa. And then we saw that he's already setting us up to look broadly at, to understand things have to be consistent in Chumash, and to look broadly at whether this Kriya B'Shem Hashem, how is Yaakov different than Avraham Yitzhak? Again, it's thinking about the arc and the progression of the Avos, and that Avraham was a Mechadesh in a way in which later's would not be. And also one more thing, which is what Avraham just mentioned, that there was a turning point, major pivot point with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was one of the most pivotal figures in world spiritual history. A point that the Gemara Pesachim makes, that the Sefer HaKuzri in the first Mamar stresses significantly. And that is, I'm sure you know the Agadata in Pesachim, but maybe never appreciate the significance of this core point. I'm sure you know the Agadata Gemara says that Yaakov gathers around all of his children. Gemara points out that there's a discontinuity in, I think, the beginning of the Paraklim test of Rishis. Because Yaakov Avinu calls his children together, and what is he before he gives them the brachas? He calls them together, and what does he tell them is going to happen? He's come together, and I'm going to tell you, Agida Lachem. Right, what's going to happen to Achras Yom? Let me tell you about the end of days. And then all of a sudden he starts giving them brachas. So Chazal said, what's happening? We're missing a page here. And what happened? He promised him Achras HaYamim, and then he switched to Brachas. Brachas are very important. What happened to Achras HaYamim? Some understand that may be referenced to Achras HaYamim, the R reference to Achras HaYamim, the Brachas. The Gemara presents an approach in Masech HaPsach, I think it's Daf Nun, if I remember correctly. Gemara says that he originally was going to tell the Nebuah that he was going to share with his children about he lost the Mashiach. When is the Mashiach coming? And then the children come together, and all of a sudden, Mistalkeimenu, he loses that Ruach HaKodesh, he loses that Nebuah. And he lost it. He lost the material. He lost the connection. And he says, Gavon, what just happened? What just happened? He looks around his children, he says, it must be that one of you doesn't deserve the earth. It must be one of you 12 boys is no longer faithful. It must be one of you 12 boys left... Nothing. He gave up. Rachmal Salamun Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe there's a pagam, as the Gemara says, Be'echad Mikem. The children say, "No, Shema Yisrael, listen, Tati. Shema Yisrael, Abba. Yisrael was their father's name. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokei, Hashem Echad. We all believe in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We all believe in Achdus Avodah. No pagam." The Gemara says that's the first time that Baruch Shem from Achuz Alamad was paired with Shema Yisrael, because that's Yaakov being responded, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Kol Achuz Alamad, Baruch Hashem. It's not that I lost that Nevuah, not because one of you is religiously off, but Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that information to be shared. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want. He wants to keep the story of Yibiyas Mashiach, the time of Yibiyas Mashiach, is confidential information, and HaKadosh will know when we know. But at the time, Yaakovinu is incredibly frightened, existentially frightened. The Gemara says he's incredibly worried. Maybe Ein Mitasei Shleima. Maybe my bed is not complete. Maybe not all my children are going to continue in my path. And the Chuzri writes that was a very fundamental concern. That's a concern that every parent has, as a parent of children. But Kuzri says, this was a turning point in world history. Because up until this point, what the Kuzri refers to is the Skula Elokis, a divine spark,
that Adam had got passed down to individual people. Not clear whether he means every single person on the list of Adam, Shais, Enosh, Canaan is got the school of kiss, or that it skipped generations. But he says Adam had it, Chanoch has it, Noah has it, Shem has it, Aver has it, Avram has it, Yitzhak has it, but their children don't all have it. Avram has it, but it only passes on to Yitzhak, not to Yishmael, the Bnei Keturah. Only passes to one of his eight children. Yitzhak has it, only passes to one of his two children, to Yaakov ben Atayis. And Yaakov is going to be the one who's going to, all of a sudden, things are going to work differently. All of a sudden, if you have the school of Elkis, it's going to pass to all your children. And the Sefer Kudosh writes, you know why that's so incredibly significant? See, this is like a cosmic, pivotal moment in world spiritual history. Why is it so pivotal? Because what can't you have without it? Without this shift? The institution that you can't have without this is an Am Hashem. You can't have a nation, folks around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it doesn't by default go to all the children. In order to build Am Hashem, you had the two first two avos, but you needed an av who would be mitaso shlema so you could begin to build Am Hashem. So he says, Yaakov thought that he was one. And that's why Yaakov's concern about his children was a mix of the natural emotional concern that any parent has about a child, together with sort of like the historical concern for what's going to be with Klal Yisrael. And that's why, and that's exactly what, and he, Baruch Hashem, he made it through. It was Mitaso Shleim in the end. And that's part of the significance of the brachas. And that is also significant to what Rabban already pointed out here. Recognize that there are three of us, but each one has unique features. And it's really sort of intuitive, but we don't think about it. And recognize, for instance, yeah, we know, you know, yeah, Avram had Yishmael and Yitzhak had Esau, but those of you don't stop to think about that. That's very significant. And Yaakov was Memela operating differently. Yaakov was beginning to build an Am Hashem in a way that the others were not. Does that mean that he was less externally focused? Because now his energies were focused on building a nation? I'm not sure. Maybe. He was somewhat less externally focused. But certainly, he certainly was building a nation in a way that Avram Yitzhak were the precursors, but Yaakov was beginning to actually do. So these are some of the major themes that Ramban introduces us to as we open up the beginning of the parshios of the Evos. I think we're gonna put aside the Ramban for now. If you're looking for more Rambans to dig into, there is plenty in this week's Sedro. Plenty. Actually, the very next, or two next, the one after the next one. Pasuk Yud is a very, very fascinating and famous Ramban. He discusses which actions described in Chumash by Avraham Avinu were sinful. Ramban discusses what the decision to go down to Mitzrayim, or the way he went down to Mitzrayim. Ramban suggests maybe that was a chet, maybe he was nenash for that. Rav Shavel in the footnotes discusses based on Zohar's, maybe Rei Machok Zepanon. This was a chet, that was a chet. Ramban seems to think that Golus Mitzrayim was an onesh for this chet of Avram going down to Mitzrayim. So Rav Shavel points out the Meir Rebbe Machokes in Chazal for what was it that Avram did for which his great grandchildren were punished with Golus Mitzrayim. A lot going on here. Okay, we just scratched the surface. There's much, much more to work on. Mirtz Hashem. So we're going to head to the Beis Medrash now for a typical Thursday. So we have to be finished now for Chazara. There's plenty of Chazaras we need to do, I think. Maybe someone will give a math Chabura Chazara, some will give an astronomy Chabura Chazara, someone will give a Ritzvah Chazara, Ran Chazara. Okay, and sorry, there's plenty of Chazar. And Mirtz Hashem, we will reconvene here at approximately 11:30. Well, in the morning, we'll continue Hilchot Yichud, so please bring, I have a couple of extra copies packet from last time, but unless you were absent last week, everyone should have one. So please make sure to come. Either bring along the Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezra, and Maseches Kiddushin, or just bring your packet from last time, Shulchan Aruch. And then in Mitzvah Shem tonight's going to be developed. Mitzvah tomorrow's going to be amazing. Mitzvah Shem tomorrow night, Kabbal Shabbos, I look forward to working with you, all you guys as a team, to begin to ignite Shabbos of the Shabbaton. And Mr. Mahal Shabbos will be marvelous, stupendous. we will have a chance to recover and learn locally on Sunday. And then we're going to come back Monday, Mitzvah, with our batteries recharged, physically refreshed, and spiritually energized. And Monday, Mitzvah, we're going to jump into a new suit in Gilma with Aleph of Rosh Ruba Besukkah of Shulchan Besukkah Habayit, Machulis Bashan Besil, of the course of Gilma with Aleph. That will be also, we're finally going to roll up our sleeves on Gilma with Aleph and get fully into the question of the nature of the Yimud Rabbanim. We've been touched on it twice on Beis Din Menachem, and Gimel Aleph and Sefer Gimel Aleph are really going to get into it more fully, and then there's more to come, and we're going to start getting into really the halachas of Sukkah and Itztava, Mechitzas, a lot coming up. It's going to be very, very freilich. Coming attractions, right now, let's head down to the Beis Medrash. Plenty to chazer.